All right, so the verses that I would like to share with you this morning are from Romans 12, 9 through 21. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Peter followed him. Oops, am I in the right one? Yes. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to him and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angels and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed. She ran back without opening it, exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You are out of your mind," they told her, when she kept insisting that it was so. They said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. And then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there for a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace, because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on the throne and delivered a public address to the people. I am so lucky to be able to call Steve Chris our friend, and I'd like to introduce him to you this morning. He is the executive director of Mosaic Conference, and we are blessed to have him sharing with us this morning. I'd like to pray over you. We did not color coordinate the pink, but I think pink looks really good. Father God, be with Steve this morning as he shares your word with all of us. Continue to bless him in his daily life. His work is so important. And we appreciate all that he does for us as he gathers us. He gathers us to bring us together to worship you, Lord. Be with him this morning. In your name, amen.
Is it better for me to go up top? I don't mind. Whatever works better for you all. I like being closer with you. Okay, I'm a walker. I might come out to you, so I'll just warn you. This is my on? Yep, there we go. This is my first time preaching with you in person, right? I was just looking back at when I have preached with you before, and this that became part of my sermon. Beth gave us a different starting off point than I had anticipated. We're going to start there. You read a different verse, Beth. I do not want to, Beth, just relax. It keeps me on my toes, right? So we're going to start in Acts with a particular frame. We're going to take that as a divine gift, Beth, so just work with me. Just relax.
I mentioned it
Yeah, we're going to live into this. Because I want you to pay attention to one specific line that the Spirit gave to us from Acts. There was no small commotion. So last time I preached with you was March of 2020. I just was looking back at my calendar. It was right after Pastor Charlene's licensing. It was a sequence of Sundays that I was quite busy as executive minister. I had just come back from Puerto Rico, which actually I just came back from again. At that time, I thought COVID was a Chinese problem. Wendy Kwong from our conference staff, who does our translation in Cantonese, reads a lot of Chinese media. If you know Wendy, she is both attentive, compassionate, and I'm going to say hypervigilant. Wendy kept telling me, "Steve, this thing in China, I've never seen anything like this before." I said to Wendy, "I'm not worrying about this, Wendy. I have plenty of other things to worry about." I started to worry about that thing. My last days in Puerto Rico in 2020, there was a large cruise ship pulling into Old San Juan the same day I was going to be there. What we knew at that point is that it seemed like this thing liked to travel on cruise ships. I was not thrilled to be there with an Italian cruise ship. I remember looking there and thinking, I wish they were not here. I didn't hate them. I just wish they weren't there. Coming back, we came back to quite a different world. The Sunday of our first lockdown, I preached with Salford, and that was recorded, and I'm not a video guy. That second Sunday of the beginning of our no small commotion, I was with you. And it was my first time preaching on Zoom. And you were figuring it out too. You worship as a small, intimate community here at Wellspring. It's your strength and your gift and your God-given charism, to use my Catholic background, or to use maybe more street terms, your God-given weirdness. I don't see that as a detraction. Hear me that way. It's the uniquenesses of us. So what I remember experiencing with you that Sunday was actually, to be honest with you, and none of you know this, was I was so frustrated. Not at you, but at the ridiculousness of the whole thing. I was like, this is dumb. What am I doing? I hate preaching like this. This technology is terrible. I hope we're over this soon. But something happened with you that day that was a conversion for me. And you don't know this yet. You schooled me. I watched you try to take care of each other really well. I distinctly remember Eloise turning things that were, for me, were frustrating into possibilities as she was your worship leader. I was like, oh, the connections are terrible. No one knows how to run this quite yet. After that Sunday, with you, I thought, we're going to be all right. But still, we are living in that time of no small commotion, right? We are extremely disrupted. It did not begin with COVID, but it definitely has flared since COVID. We would go on in that 2020 period of a lot of frustration through a year of political upheaval. Things that have infected and infested our churches as well, both out of deep distress around racial injustice in our country, both out of senses of right and left and right and wrong between our political parties, and it has divided our churches, gotten into our minds and in our hearts. At the same time, every delegate from Wellspring Congregation had agreed to become part of a new thing that we had reconciled by the Spirit of God together after 150 years of schism that still deeply affect you because there's another Skip Back Church just across the hill. All of this was transpiring at the same time. It was no small commotion. So to take you to the text, to jump from this place of no small commotion, and in that no small commotion time, what we know from this Acts text that Beth read for us is the church was going out into new places. And every time it went to a new place, there was some kind of eruption of no small commotion. And the text that I have in the bulletin for you, not the Spirit-given one, but my plan, comes from Romans. It's from Romans 12, and many of you will know this first set of verses. It starts off, "I beseech you, therefore, my sisters and brothers..." I was going to be pretty thrilled that I had it memorized. "By the something of God," help me out, those of you who know it, "mercy," thank you, Pastor Charlene, "of God, to present yourselves as living sacrifices to God." This is very interesting text to a community where there's a lot of sacrificial worship, right? This is happening in Rome where there's a lot of strange sacrificial practices. But what this community is being invited to do is to live their lives, not offer sacrifices, not take things or people, but to live in a way that was honoring to God. And so if we jump down there through Romans 12, past the things that we are familiar with, some of us from that initial verse, into this other section that begins in verse 9, we get to a thing that is a long list of options. My notes here. They got to catch up with Beth and me now. So why is there this secondary long list of things here? Let's talk about that. This no small commotion had also erupted in Rome. This is a different time, but it's in the movement of no small commotion that's moving amongst the urban communities around the Mediterranean. Paul is a primary provocateur of these no small commotion incidents because of his desire to express the good news to all people. I'm going to tell you a couple things. So my family joined the Mennonite Church. I didn't join the Mennonite Church. My parents did. I started to attend when I was in sixth grade. You know what you don't really need in sixth grade? More weird things. You don't need more weird things in middle school. In case you don't remember that, I just want to invite you to recollect back. Think about the sixth grader in your life. Does that person need more weird? No. They are weird enough. And school is difficult, so that's also weird, and you're with a lot of other people who are trying to figure themselves out. It is middle school is a time of commotion in general. So my parents, at sixth grade, decided we needed to find a worshiping community. We had not been regularly attending church. We had sort of attended an outside Jesus Movement church while I was a small kid that I liked. And then I went to Mass with my aunt and uncle, so I had a dose of both charismatic and Catholic worship. My mom grew up in a conservative-dressed Nazarene church, and my dad at a United Methodist church, so they are Wesleyan-ish. But they decided we needed a church. Partly what I learned later was because I was obsessed about nuclear war and asking too many questions. They said, we realized we didn't have all the answers, and we better find some people that can help you and us. So my dad announces some Sunday that we are going to go visit a church, which I actually was largely okay with, but then we found out that church was going to be Mennonite, which I didn't need. I remember saying to my dad, can we just go somewhere normal? For me, that normal meant Church of the Brethren was fine, because there are more of those in the school district we lived in. I knew those people. United Methodist, take your pick of what I considered to be normal at sixth grade. Well, my dad made a commitment to both my mom and me that if we went to this Mennonite church and we got there and all the cars were dark colored, we would not have to go in. Nonetheless, my mom and I don't remember how my mom and I must have been processing this alongside my dad. My dad knew people who went there, which is how we got there. My mom and I have a very distinct recollection. We sort of dressed as plain as possible, and we went. And it was warm and friendly. But one of the things that became somewhat difficult down the road was a recognition of difference within our congregation. Our congregation was a church plant designed for Eastern European persons. That's me. We were the target group. But there was not always equal understanding of one another in that community. My mom's last name is Miller, so it throws the game off, right? So I would identify that part of my reality as often as I could so that it felt like I belonged in this setting. But in reality, we spoke Slovak some at home. My grandpa blared polkas in our house as often as he could. I never learned to dance. I regret that now, though probably no one else should. Alcohol was not totally forbidden. And there were things that were hard to tell about joining our church, about what was cultural and what was gospel. And sometimes, I was embarrassed of being Slovak. Those of you who carry the Pennsylvania Dutch legacy of being Mennonite, I do not want you to hear this as guilt. I love that part of our story. Someone said to me, as our conference began to transform, they said, it means that we no longer get to have funny cake at conference gatherings. And I said, that is absolutely wrong. I like funny cake. There will be funny cake. I said, the difference is there is funny cake and tamales. It is a community of both. Which means we get to celebrate the particularities of who we are, that long legacy of faith and family that many of you carry, and the newness and weirdness of those of us who have come into this place and found God with you all together. The challenge is, it's hard to figure out what of that is gospel and what of that is culture. My mom began to dress plain. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, at eighth grade. I bought her a covering. My mom wore a covering. She dressed relatively plain. I went to a Mennonite school. I went to EMU. My parents are United Methodist again. Do you think that's complicated? It is. This no small commotion that was going on at Rome was a set of insider-outsider issues. The long-term Jewish community who had become followers of Jesus were actually becoming problematic in Rome, and so they were actually sent out of the city a while. And this letter arrives after they are invited to return, but in the meantime, Gentiles who had become followers of Judaism, who had converted to following Jesus, had erupted into their own reality. And you know what I think they were doing? Potlucks with ham. They were doing things that they could not do while the Jewish community was there. I will tell you, as an Eastern European person, we had a mechanism within our congregation to get pierogies to one another. There were ways that you worked within the community to honor your own tradition, sometimes while the rest of the tradition wasn't so sure of it. Mildred Shuplak would call my parents, she's Serbian, and tell my mom and dad there are pierogies in your mailbox. These were the things that were happening. All of a sudden, they were eating ham. They were sort of not participating in the rules, and they had found freedom. But then they needed to find compassion again, because the Jewish community was returning. And they needed to figure how to work this out. This was no small commotion. The Jewish Christians were afraid because of the rapid changes that were happening around them, and also because they felt oppression by the government. The future of the gospel, I think the Jewish people even knew it, was likely among these crazy Gentiles. There were far more of them. The tension was, how do we bear witness patiently together? Mosaic Conference became a thing at Pentecost in 2020. It was the same time of the urban uprisings. I will never forget the both. I preached the sermon that Sunday while all of the storefronts three blocks from my house were boarded up out of fear of what might come to my neighborhood. I live in Chestnut Hill. I live two blocks inside the city line. My sisters and brothers at Wellspring and Mosaic, we are called to bear witness in a time of no small commotion. This is you. This is us. This is our fast-growing churches in South Philly. This is our historic churches across Bucks and Montgomery County. This is the places where we didn't imagine we would ever go together, from Florida to California. These are urban congregations in the cities close to us, like Allentown. This is us. So what is the deal with this big, long list of things? After this no small commotion occurs, Paul, who has not yet visited them, tells them they need to get themselves together. This invitation is what has remained for me and come to me in my leadership minister role. I actually latched on to the verses before I knew the text, and while we've been going through this tumultuous time, I have found it to be quite helpful. It is actually practices, not as much belief, but practices that are informed by who we are as people invited to give our whole lives as a living sacrifice to God. What I wanted to invite you today was to find a handhold in these things. In a time of great commotion, what are the things you can hold on to? Paul was right in believing that they weren't going to get this perfect. But it was the way of love. One of the key lines I find to be helpful is it was, let your love be true, or let your love be authentic. Don't just pretend to love others. This is verse 8. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Okay, be angry about some stuff. Go ahead. Be mad. I'm Eastern European. I'll tell you I'm mad or borderline mad about 80% of the time. For those of you who are Pennsylvania Dutch, I am learning culturally how to pick up when you are also mad, but for me it's obvious. But we don't get to just be angry. The alternative is to cling to what is good. So how do we pay attention to that while we're also angry about some other things? How do we pay attention and give energy to the things that are also good? How do we also encourage and live into that? Love one another with genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. I saw that with you that second Sunday into the pandemic, and that gave me hope. I saw that with you when you called Beth as your pastor after the hardness of losing Mike. Didn't even need to process together whether we could call a woman or not. That's amazing, y'all. I want to just bless, honor, and name and recognize that as a gift. Your ability to honor one another, to express love in that time of great commotion was a gift. The rest of the text invites us to numerous things. Never be lazy. Work hard to serve God, the Lord, enthusiastically. Rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. This has been a really critical one for me while we're going through our own great commotion in Mosaic. Be patient and prayerful. This is the exact alternative that what our culture is inviting us to when we're continually exposed to 24-hour news sources that are on our phones, on our watches, watch phone, in our head, on the screen. Be patient and prayerful, despite everything that invites us to be quick and urgent. I've asked someone recently, what is your hurry? In making a decision. You know what that person answered to me? Nothing. There was no answer. There are times we need to be urgent, right? Somebody is standing outside of your door and they are hungry. You're messing around and figuring out what to do about that is not helpful. That needs urgent response. Other things need patience and prayer. It is a challenge to figure out which of those things we need to be living into. I would say, mostly, 90% of the time, patience and prayerful wins the day. Many of our urban congregations will tell you, you are urgent on the wrong things. I'm just going to let that sit a little bit. One day this week, I had to live into this own, like, what is the urgent thing? I had a meeting, conference meeting, which are all very important around our great commotion. My next door neighbor on the right, her mom just died. I had actually been asked to sit with her mom a couple days in the last month when the nurse wasn't there. Older African American folks, we share the same duplex. We're both from Western Pennsylvania. We feel a bit like family. She had a box that was too heavy. I'm supposed to be on Zoom. She had a box that was too heavy for her to carry in the house. I looked at the box and I thought, I'm not really sure this is about the box. I'm supposed to be in a meeting. I picked up the box. I carried it inside. I said, what is this? She said, I can't even deal with it, Steve. I said, what is it? Kind of curious, like, I'm not really sure what this thing is. It says refrigerated, so it makes me super curious. She's like, it's my mom's meals. That's why she couldn't deal with it. So do you want these? Can you take them? I can take them, but do you want them? I do want them. You go do what you're doing. I'll put them in the fridge. Go back to my meeting. Side neighbor, while I'm in my meeting. Other side neighbor, she's Puerto Rican. She grew up in Ibonito, where there are lots of Mennonites. When I moved in, she said, I was praying that a person of peace would move there, so I'm assuming that's you. Once she found out I was a Mennonite pastor. And she said, I plan to be a good neighbor, so I hope you're going to do that as well. It's like, okay, this is going to be the rules. What she had was, she had been watching urgently on screen. She watches the news all day. She's in her about 80. And she had a check in her hand with no, made out to no one, but that was $100 that she said, I trust you to get to this, the right people for Turkey. These are how my urgent meetings were interrupted. These are urgent things. What do we need to be patient and prayerful for? And what do we need to be urgent on? And how do we discern that together? Bless those. Be patient in trouble. Always keep praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Welcome people into our lives and our homes, whatever that means. That's my verse, my stuff, not Paul's. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And this is my favorite. Don't think you know it all. Oh, I do, though. I don't just think I do. Y'all aren't even humoring me, are you? Never pay back evil with evil. Do things in such a way that everyone will see you're honorable. Do all you can, and I'll admit, this has been the one I've been holding on to. And it actually, in other versions, says, as long as it relies on you, live at peace with everyone. This has been mine. This is work and annoyance some days. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will pay them back. I will take revenge, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. My sisters and brothers, what we know is that the community of Rome became the center of the Western Church. They never practiced this perfectly, but they practiced it well enough to change the world. We know that is full of challenge and possibility. We know that it is not easy. And we know that it is different than the cultural practices around us. While we are in our own time of no small commotion, my sisters and brothers at Wellspring, may you be a model of living well this way.